You're listening to an interview from the Jodcast. For the full show, visit www.jodcast.net.
Okay, with me in our Birmingham studios is Joanna Ashwell, an amateur astronomer from Stoke. Welcome to the Jodcast, Jo.
Thank you.
So, Jo, you're doing, you're just finishing off your PhD. Could you tell us a little bit what it's about?
Sure, yeah. I'm just finishing off my last year of PhD at Keele. And I'm essentially looking at stars, or more specifically, just one, actually. It's a star called J37 that's in the open cluster of NGC 6633, which is actually in the southern hemisphere, so we can't see it from Britain. But this star is very, very unusual because it essentially has too much of the element lithium in it. And my big challenge is to work out why.
Okay, what is so important about lithium? What is that telling us about the star? And you know, why is it so important?
Well, when you look at the spectrum of a star, which you can do under the same sort of idea as putting a prism in front of sunlight, you obviously get a rainbow from it. But when you look at the spectrum of a star, you can actually pick out from that spectrum all the chemical elements that make up that star. You can work out exactly what it is made of. In most stars, the particular element lithium is destroyed because it burns at a very low temperature, and most stars are therefore quite hot enough to burn it and destroy it completely very early in their lives. But this particular star, J37, actually has vast quantities of it within its atmosphere, and we can't currently work out why it hasn't been destroyed. One theory is that it's actually been added during the star's life, perhaps by a planet falling into the star.
Right, and how much evidence do we have of something like a planet falling in, and how hot is the star itself?
Well, the surface temperature of J37 is about 7,000 Kelvin, so it's quite a bit hotter than our sun.
So, and a Kelvin is the same as Celsius, but 273 degrees less, is that right?
That's right, but at these sort of temperatures, you can essentially consider them the same thing. Mm-hmm. There is a certain amount of evidence for material falling into stars. There's a lot of research going on at the moment into stars with planets going around them, extrasolar planets. And a lot of those stars, those host stars, have very high what are referred to as metallicities. Astronomers cheat a little bit. We have a very simple periodic table. It's basically got hydrogen, helium, and everything else is considered as metals. But all of the stars with extrasolar planets around them essentially have too much metal within them. And it's believed that that is the result of material when the planets were forming actually falling into the star. So there is a lot of indirect evidence for it.
So what therefore makes J37 special? If planets would be falling into stars on a reasonably regular basis, if extrasolar planets are out there, then why is this particular one particularly special?
Well, we know that J37 doesn't have any planets around it. And we know that it doesn't have an accretion disk around it either, i.e. the material that would potentially form a planet eventually. We also know that J37 has a very, very thin surface layer to it. All stars have what's known as a convection layer around the outside of them. And therefore, any material that falls onto the surface of a star, into that convection layer, would normally get mixed with the rest of the constituents of the star and diluted to such an extent that you wouldn't actually notice it anymore. In the case of J37, the convection zone is very, very thin, and therefore you wouldn't need much material to fall onto the star at all for you to actually be able to see the effects of this.
So basically, what J37 is a star which doesn't have anything around it, but has evidence of things going into it.
Yes, essentially. And we're trying to work out why. There are several theories. One is the idea of material actually falling into the star, in which case we're trying to work out what that material could potentially be. The patterns that we've got at the moment by looking at the star spectrum, as I mentioned before, suggests that it is a planet. The chemical elements present are actually similar to the composition of the Earth.
Ah. So there could have been another Earth going around J37 that's just gone.
Well, certainly a rocky planet anyway.
Right. Okay, moving away then from your research, you're an amateur astronomer in your own right. What is it that you do outside?
Well, I own several telescopes of my own, which have been built up over quite a few years. My interest in amateur astronomy first developed when I think I was about six. And I think, like most astronomers, I had a look at a planet, in my case, Jupiter, and was just completely blown away by the view of it. I saw the Galilean satellites, I saw the cloud belts, and my parents were good enough to buy me my first telescope. I think it cost all of about £50, and since then I've bought some that have cost several thousand. But it's just the enthusiasm to get out there and have a look at what's up there, and I'm starting to get into a little bit of astrophotography as well.
Ah, right, because my first planet was Saturn. But if you can just explain to people why astronomy, what is so special about the stars that makes you think, wow, I want to discover more about these?
Wow.
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah, very big question. Well, I think for me personally, it's just the wow factor of it. The fact that you can look through a telescope, well, you don't even have to look through a telescope to see a different world. But certainly looking at it through a telescope, you can learn an awful lot about it. And I just like the idea of learning how these things tick. I very specifically went down the path of stellar astrophysics as opposed to galaxies or cosmology or anything like that. Just because the stars absolutely fascinate me, knowing what's going on inside them, these huge balls of gas that are so very dynamic.
So you look at the stars, you're doing a bit of photography of the stars. Is there anything else you do astronomically?
Oh, definitely. Whilst I was going through my education, building up to where I am now, I was always desperate for more information about astronomy. But unfortunately, there are very few people around that could give it to me. So I'm out there trying to do it. Admittedly, I'm only one person, but I'm involved with several sort of science and particularly astronomy organisations. And I actually go out around schools teaching astronomy and trying to encourage them to run the GCSE astronomy course.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find the reception of children who are getting their first taste of astronomy from a professional astronomer?
Oh, wow factor, definitely. I think they're being captured in exactly the same way as I was. There is no lack of enthusiasm whatsoever from the students. It is, unfortunately, in many cases, lack of budget and so forth within the schools. It's the only thing that's stopping them.
It's something we really need to turn around.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thank you very much for coming on the Jodcast.
That's quite all right.
And we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you.